Welcome back to the Expert Witness Playbook. Brian, Dr. Brian Woodruff, MD.
Chris Woody Woodruff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so good to be back.
It is. Just so people know, Brian's a board-certified child neurologist.
I am.
Ped neurologist.
Yep.
And I am just a technologist, but...
with a lot of years of experience. Yeah. A lot of years of experience in the technology
and
field.
And I'm trying to get into the expert witness work, into this kind of industry.
Into the arena.
Which is tough.
Yeah.
Has been tough. You've listened to previous episodes, we have been pretty honest about what it takes to get into it. And today we're going to talk about how lawyers find some expert witnesses.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some real nuts and bolts, some real practical.
Yeah.
The last episode was a little bit more sort of high level.
Yeah.
It was felt a little philosophical, right? And this is more like nuts and bolts, practical.
Yes. And you know what? You can have these people that are trying to get into the expert witness industry that think that they can just throw money at the problem and start getting cases. But that's not really how it goes, right?
It isn't. And I think there are some, you know, some practical things that you can do to get started.
So, Brian, in your experience, where do lawyers and law firms do their searches for expert witnesses?
So it's kind of twofold. One are the directories. And if you haven't seen what a directory is, you could go out and look at SEAK, S-E-A-K. I have no affiliation as far as, I'm not making any money off of them. In fact, I'm listed with them. But I have no financial ties with them. But SEAK is one where you can look up somebody who's a technologist or a pediatric neurologist. Basically, every medical specialty is in there. If you're wanting geographic locations and different things, it's in there. So it's an easy place to go. There are several others out there. There's one called, I think, experts.com. There's another one called JurisPro. There are several out there. The most common ones I've sort of listed. So they're going to go to a directory. They're also going to ask their colleagues. They're going to ask for a referral. When I've talked to attorneys, I often will ask, and I think you should do this too, how did you find me? And they'll usually let you know. And sometimes, oh, I heard about you from another attorney, or I found you on the SEAK directory. So always ask how somebody found you. And so referrals, and then because, you know, they want to be efficient. They don't have a lot of time. Sometimes they're under pretty big deadlines. And so they will reach out and get that information in order to get going on the case.
Yeah. Well, we hit on this the last episode, but having a good website that represents you is important, right?
It is. Having the right website, and I've seen some really bad websites, I've seen a lot of really good ones. Some people don't have a website. Personally, I think a website is good. It allows you to be seen. It's sort of an electronic business card.
Yeah.
The law firms all have websites.
Sure.
And they try to make a big deal out of experts having websites.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, why do you have a website? If you have a website, you're going to be asked about it at every deposition.
Yes.
You're going to be asked about it at every trial. Why do you have a website? And but that's not a bad thing.
No.
You know?
No.
And so
it gives you the chance to get your information out to lawyers instead of lawyers having to pull everything out of you and ask a bunch of questions. I mean, like if you take a look at Brian's website at childneurologyexpert.com, you'll see that there's on the homepage, it's very clear that Brian's an expert. And then every page off of the menu reinforces that. It talks about cases, it talks about details of those cases, it talks about areas that Brian has expertise in. So if I was a lawyer and I went to Brian's site, I could come in and go, hey, this case I'm working on is a adult neurology trial. I don't think Brian's the right person for that, which right. is good, right? Because you Absolutely. Don't really want, you don't want to take everything out there. You
no, and I can't. Yeah. I can't. I don't.
Well, but
I don't
you accept want cases. The right cases
right.
that fit your expertise.
Yeah, and so the website, I think, should have a few key things. Number one, it should be very clear that you're an expert. Number two, it should list the cases that you want to receive. Within a certain field, you may be more focused on certain things. You know, pediatric neurology is pretty narrow, but if you're a family practice doctor, maybe you just want to look at nursing home cases. So, you know, really have what your focus is there. And then make it really easy to figure out how to contact you. One of my pet peeves on these websites is they will not have a phone number or an email address. They'll have some form on a page and you have to fill out your name and yeah. your information. And then you click submit and it goes off somewhere. Bad idea. What you want is your phone number on there. They call, you answer the phone. They want your email address. They want to email you, because I would say about half the time I'm contacted by phone and about the other half the time I'm contacted by email.
Yeah, and they want to find someone pretty quickly because they've got probably their own deadlines that they have to meet and they have to line up their experts. And don't think you're the only expert that a law firm or a lawyer's going to hire. You may be one of many experts, correct?
Well, yes. I mean, in a lot of the cases that I work on, there are often 4 to 8 different experts in different fields. And so they're trying to line up a lot of different people. And they may have put out, we've talked about this before, an email or a phone call to 3 other people in your same field.
Yeah.
And so responsiveness.
And they're waiting for the first person to get back with them.
Yeah.
So, yep. So Brian, when you're taking a look at other expert witnesses' websites, what are the common mistakes that you feel that other experts kind of have with their websites?
Yeah. So we talked about not having an easy way to contact you. But there are some websites out there that that people are going to get in trouble with. Not in trouble like legal trouble, but in trouble with opposing counsel. And what happens is that it makes there are things that you can put in there, that people put in there, that make them look biased. That they may be like, call me and I'll help you win your case. You're not there to help anybody win their case. You're there to explain a complex idea so that the attorneys, the jury, the judge can understand. You're the expert. The attorneys are there and are advocates for their side. You are not an advocate. So what you want in a website is just putting it out there, your information. You don't want a big sales pitch. You don't want, you know, some of these websites look slimy.
You don't want to promise anything.
Never ever promise anything.
Yeah.
Because you're not there to win or lose a case.
Yeah, you're not the lawyer. The lawyers are the people that get in front of the jury and get in front of a judge and try the case.
Right.
You're just there to give your view towards a part of that case.
Right. And so really look at your website, every bit of your website, and how opposing counsel will view it and how they can make you look bad. And I think that's kind of the most important thing is being unbiased, objective. And if you do that, I think websites work well for people.
And honest.
Absolutely.
Be honest. Don't say I've been in 10 cases when you had none.
Absolutely.
Lawyers are really good at finding out information.
Oh, absolutely.
They'll find out how many cases you've actually been associated with.
Well, in deposition, you're under oath.
Yeah.
And they'll ask that question.
Yeah.
And you'll have to tell the truth.
Or you're perjure yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I know lawyers and law firms, just like every other industry, have lots of conferences and lots of gatherings. Is it a good idea to get in front of those groups and speak to them or just mingle with them?
Absolutely. So I think what's more important is to speak on a topic of your expertise. So if you can Google search or look for an upcoming conference over the next year that may be related to your expertise, that attorneys may be gathering, either plaintiff bar or defense bar, they may be gathering to talk about. Often you can go and find where you could submit an idea to talk about. And I've talked to legal nurse consultants or life care planners, and that's, those are also other avenues. But you get instant reputation. If you get up and they can see how you present and how you talk and how you synthesize data to give a talk, well, that's a lot of information. They're gonna know you pretty well about how you're going to be at deposition or at trial. Now, being in front of people at a talk, you're not under, you know, the scrutiny of a deposition, but I think they get a pretty good sense, and they get instant reputation from that.
Yeah. So let's talk about online. I mean, we were talking about talking in front of people, like in the same room, but now let's take it to the digital side. Because there are LinkedIn, there are things like maybe you could do a talk that you would do in front of people. What do you think about maybe doing a YouTube video on a topic and then putting that out on LinkedIn? Are those valuable, do you think?
Well, let's talk about LinkedIn. From what I've heard, I have a LinkedIn account. I post on it every once in a while. Once again, anything that you post on LinkedIn is going to be looked at by retaining and opposing counsel. So think about what you post out there, because it's out there forever. And so LinkedIn, from what I've heard talking to attorneys, and you know, they will look at your LinkedIn, not so much to find you, but just to see, is somebody relevant? What are they posting out there? What sort of information, how engaged are they? So really, it's not really a lead generator, but it more to kind of look at your reputation.
Qualifier.
Yeah, and it can, and the other thing is a lot of people have LinkedIn accounts and they're just like, they're stagnant. There's nothing
on
them.
Yeah, there's nothing on
there.
And
I think that doesn't, if you're gonna have a LinkedIn account, do something with it.
Yeah.
If you're not gonna do something with it, get rid of it. Because it looks stagnant, it looks like you don't care about it. So I would do one or the other.
Yeah.
Eliminate it or be active with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there are people that can help you if you don't know how to use LinkedIn, if you don't know the best way to kind of craft posts and ideas. Brian and I do have some people that we know that are very good LinkedIn consultants that can help.
They can help people.
Or you can reach out. You may have people that you know in your circles that are, I hate to say, social media consultants, but really you're looking for someone that can help you leverage LinkedIn. And what they can do for you is take the burden off of you to create that content. They can ask you for ideas. They can come, like they can interview you and get ideas that then they can post on your behalf.
Yeah, you want, as always, you want to vet everything, look at everything, approve everything.
Yes. So Brian, we've talked about a lot of different things that we feel that could be valuable for expert witnesses or new and experienced expert witnesses. What do you think are waste of time and money?
So, you know, the things that I have heard through talking to attorneys and through looking at Seek has a marketing white paper that you can purchase if you go to their website. But things like paid mailers, just sending out mailers, tend to not be to really have a good return. Unfocused blogging that really is just sort of putting things out there that hoping that somebody's going to stumble across something. I think we all have limited time. I think focusing on some of the things that we've talked about, other things that, paid ads, I have heard, getting higher up. I mean,
getting higher up in like Google searches.
Google search is good, but having a paid ad where you're, I think that that just doesn't look great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and attorneys can see that.
Yeah. Do you think paying for like these seminars that teach you how to be an expert witness, are those valuable?
They certainly can be.
Okay.
Now that, and we can talk about those on a different, but I think those from the standpoint of you can connect with other people. So there can be a lot of different experts at those. So you can talk to people about what they've done.
Yeah.
Networking is really good. And, being an expert is very different than whatever field you're in, as far as the nuts and bolts of how things work. And I have taken a course in the past through Seek, and I was able to understand sort of the process of how a case works. I mean, obviously they don't teach you the medicine, but they do teach you how a process goes from a filing to a trial and everything in between.
Yeah, cool. So I think we're going to wrap up this episode. Again, if you want to see or you want to contact Brian, go out to childneurologyexpert.com. It'll be on the screen. I will say, if you do want a website, I can help you with that. Reach out to me, or maybe reach out to Brian.
Yeah, his email address is cwoodruff@live.com.
Yeah, so you can reach out to me if you want to have me look at your website or create a new website for you. We can talk about that. So we'll dig in some more marketing stuff on the next episode. But I think we'll just end it now and see you next time. And if you need anything, just reach out to us.
Reach out.